The reading appointed for this day is Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the princes of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. The basis for today's meditation, selected words of the apostle, that famous passage, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is one of the most beautiful passages in Holy Scripture. Let's walk through verses 1 through 10 just real quickly. It starts out with an assessment of who you were, who we all were. Prior to the intervention of the Lord Christ, we were dead. When we were looking for strength and support, we turned to Satan, where we formerly sought comfort. No different than those who looked to themselves for salvation, we were internal looking for flesh and mind away from God in Christ Jesus. Until that time, Christ came into the world and redeemed the world through his death on the cross. Where this King of glory seated with us, so we are with him. We were once broke, destitute, and now bought with grace, the shedding of his blood, and we are saved. And now you come to that famous passage, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and it reverberates through us with a sense of deep, deep joy. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. And the whole passage of Ephesians 2 goes to chapter 10, where it talks about an impassioned plea to perform works, to perform good works of witness and mercy and life together. Ephesians 2 has been with me for probably most of my life. At least most of my memory. It was required memory work for confirmation. At an early age, our pastor wanted us to understand in a crystal clear fashion the concept of justification by grace through faith. This passage also is nestled under the third article of the Creed and speaks of the Holy Spirit's ability to create faith to believe in the law, that depth of sinful humanity laid open. And the gospel, the grace undeserved love that brings us to salvation. As I became older and went from high school to college and later to the parish and the military ministry, Ephesians 2 was so important in illustrating the goodness and graciousness of God to triumph over sin, original and actual. As a pastor and a chaplain and fellow pilgrim, this text became what I call the go-to text. Ephesians 2 worked well at weddings, where you advise young couples to appeal to God's grace in dealing with each other. At the bedside or in a hospital where there is nothing more to say, where that wonderful child of God is going from temporal to eternal, quietly with clarity and confidence, as a passionate chaplain, it's been a privilege to whisper the words that begin, For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Words of comfort to the dying. Words of comfort to the family. Words of comfort to the nurses and the doctors. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This passage of the apostle works well at confirmations, elders' meetings, Sunday school classes of all ages. And how beautiful to repeat these words in personal devotion and reflection, observing their application of one's vocatio as husband, chaplain, son, brother, friend, and fellow co-worker. But Paul wants to make sure we know for certainty the two components of salvation. It is grace and it is faith. Both given, not earned, both essential. This grace given and extended by Christ on the cross to cleanse you from your sins, it's given. To grant you pardon and peace. To be emboldened and confident that it is Christ who lifts the burden of sin, lifts the burden of shame, lifts the burden of guilt and places it upon his shoulders. That his death is what lifts you out of the grave. Love, undeserved, grace. It's life eternal. You know, hearing these words of Paul makes us so self-confident. We respond like the words of King David in Psalm 91, who says nothing more than, I will rest in the arms of the Almighty. So here's the challenge of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I don't think many of us here are contentious about Jesus' death on the cross, his bloody sweat in the garden, his scourging and the personification of Psalm 51 placed upon him when he cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The contention we have is not about grace, but about faith. We want to present to God that it is our faith, our belief in him that brings about the kingdom of heaven and our salvation. And we see it all the time. God provides the grace, we provide the faith. It's like a ceremonial pitch at a baseball game. We have the eschatological catcher's mitt. The Almighty pitches the baseball of grace and we catch it, we possess it, and we even present it back to him as if it was our own doing. And we skip a crucial element. Do you remember the event in the Gospels? The catching of Peter's hand by Jesus as he was sinking into the Sea of Galilee. It was a grasping out with the hand of Christ. Our grasping comes from the Holy Spirit. No cooperation on our part. We have nothing to do with rescue. It comes down to faith, even by the Holy Spirit. We want to assist in our salvation, and that sounds normal. We want to use our abilities and skills to grasp salvation. It seems right. To do so leads to frustration, dependence, and eternal death. When I was in a military medical command in 2015, it was my responsibility to teach to psychiatrists, social workers, and psychologists the roles that chaplains and pastors play in the healing process and the overall health of the men and women who go to military medicine. I was required to, and I found this book called The Secular Mind by Robert Coles, and he tells a story, and I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is Ignaz Semmelweis. You ever heard of him? He was a rising physician in the 19th century, considered one of the most brilliant minds of medicine. He was of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He lived in Budapest. But he heard about a problem at the major clinicum, the major hospital in Vienna, that women who were having babies were dying at huge statistical numbers outside of normal proportion. About 50% of the women were dying at this one hospital. And so Semmelweis packed up all of his medical equipment, his journal, and he applied what's called the scientific method to determine what was wrong with these women. So he would go there, and he would talk to the women, he'd interview them, he would even do a couple of autopsies, he'd talk some more with these women, he'd do some autopsies, he'd talk with the women, he'd go back to Budapest, and he'd wait for his analysis to come in. And he started to realize, to his shock and horror, that he was a major cause of the problem. When he was not at the clinicum in Vienna, the death rate was about 20%. When he was there, it changed to 80%. And he realized that he was the cause of major illness, disease, and death to these women. And so he learned something quickly, that if you apply warm water to your hands and soap between the patients and between the medical procedures, he dropped the death rate down to less than 1%. Now, He had a problem, because at that time the scientific method did not allow for this. When he announced that he had discovered that using simple water and soap to heal 80% of those that were about to die, it was unfathomable by the medical community. They made fun of him. And there's even a medical term called the Semmelweis paradox that you'll hear in the medical community. And that's when you look at all the data, you see all the data, and you take the data and you throw it away, because it's just unbelievable to you. Well, it's like that with us in our journey, and that's what Paul wants to do. He wants to walk you through just how dead you are. You have to believe the data presented in front of you. Without Christ, you're dead. It's as simple as that. With Christ, you have life, and you have life in Him, and it's eternal, and it's wonderful and beautiful. We cannot cooperate with our salvation. It would be just as horrifying if we were to do as Semmelweis did with our own soul and with that of those that we love. But the water that we use is not warm water and simple soap. It is a water of holy baptism, where we are washed and redeemed, and we come up as children of God, redeemed in Christ Jesus. And so in the end, what Paul is saying, this gift of faith, this gift of grace, is a gift, and it's not about you. You can't participate in your rescue. It's God in Christ Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's doing this all for you. So in these very short verses, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul walks us through the story of salvation, from being dead to alive in Christ Jesus, from following the whims of Satan to belonging to the Lord God, King of the universe, from looking at ourselves for all good things, formerly dwelling in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of what Paul calls flesh and mind, and by nature, children of wrath. Now, we're transformed into His children with an inheritance that will last forever. Paul points to grace through faith, gifts of God that bring us to salvation in Christ Jesus. And now, it's time for good works, for witness, for mercy, and life together. And we ask this in holy and precious name. Amen.